The facts are there are very few true believers, and there are a lot of so-called brethren. There are people who are walking a walk of faith. We are to mimic the right walk, not the wrong one. We are to observe the right one, not the wrong one. We're not to be like the wrong one. If we are, maybe we're in trouble.
Welcome to this midweek edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Greg, we live in a consumer-driven society. From our national economy to our own private economies, we're driven by an insatiable desire for more. So why doesn't that spill over into our spiritual lives as easily?
Well, Dave, wouldn't it be great if it did? But the reality is it doesn't. You see, our natural state is to be consumed with ourselves, with me, myself, and I. And we are naturally selfish. We are sinful. But the wonderful thing is that when you come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, we have all of his help and power available to live as he desires us to live. And today we're going to see how to begin to live a life with an upward perspective, one which will change our inward desires, which is going to be manifest then in our outward behavior towards the Lord and to others. If you have a Bible handy, please turn to Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Continual habitual action. For many continually, habitually walk this way. Now, I shared two passages earlier that reveal that we are the minority. That there are few that find the truth in Jesus Christ. Few that actually come to faith in Jesus Christ. That the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It's the smallest, but it will be the biggest. In Luke chapter 13, actually turn to Luke chapter 13. Even his disciples were going, what's going on here, Lord Jesus? What's going on? Doesn't seem like many people are getting saved. Doesn't seem like many are really coming to faith like you have revealed to us. Luke chapter 13, verse 22. And he was passing through from one city and village to another, teaching and proceeding on his way to Jerusalem. And someone said to him, Lord, are there just a few who are being saved? And he said to them, strive to enter by the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and they will not be able. And he goes on. Same illustration that we saw earlier, the narrow gate and the wide gate. The broad road and the narrow road. Are there many being saved? The plain facts are there are very few true believers and there are a lot of so-called brethren. There are many people who are walking a walk of faith. But we are to mimic the right walk, not the wrong one. We are to observe the right one, not the wrong one. We're not to be like the wrong one. If we are, maybe we're in trouble. So then he says, many, many. And I don't believe he's speaking of the world in general because the context again is a walk. Many walk this way. And the context is comparing to the false brethren. I think that's the case. There's many who believe they know the Lord but don't know the Lord. The Lord Jesus would share this in Matthew chapter 7. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, many, right? The Apostle Paul speaks of many. 2 Corinthians 2:17. For we are not like the many peddling the word of God. Titus chapter 1 verse 10. For there are many rebellious men, empty talkers, deceivers. 1 John 2:18, John speaks of it. There are many antichrists have arisen. Many false prophets have gone out into the world. 1 John 4. 2 John chapter 1, it's only one chapter, verse 7. For many deceivers have gone out into the world. Peter speaks of it. 2 Peter chapter 2 speaks about many will follow the false teachers, their sensuality. Because of them, the way of truth will be maligned. Many. Bottom line is many are going to walk the wrong way, and it's going to be an illustration or example of where their hearts are at and thus where their destiny is at. False brethren are often designated as the many. Don't we see this in churches today? Mega churches filled to the brim, but yet very few people truly mimicking the faith of the Apostle Paul as revealed in Scripture. We're commanded to be fellow imitators of Paul and to observe those who walk according to the pattern which we have. Because, verse 18 back in Philippians chapter 3, for many walk, of whom I often told you and now tell you weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. He says, I often spoke to you, that the tense is in the past. I told you over and over and over again in the past about this. I've told you over and over, many walk this way, but their end is destruction. Many walk this way, whom I told you often, often. And I tell you even weeping, weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. It broke his heart. Paul often spoke of that, of those who walked in a different way than they walked. He says, and now I tell you weeping. When was the last time you were moved over the state of the church, of so many people following Christ in this manner, actually effectively, as we will see, being enemies of the cross of Christ, enemies of the truth that comes through what Jesus did on the cross, enemies of that? Many look like they're following Jesus, but ultimately they're not mimicking the faith of Paul and those like him. And in contrast, we're going to see they set their minds on earthly things. Believers, we are to walk like Paul and scope out those who do so according to that pattern they have in him we see in Scripture. And if we don't do so, we're not going to differentiate the right path or the wrong path, because God has revealed it in his word. And Paul warns us of the alternative. The alternative is not good. He says, now weeping, that these people do damage, and their destiny is a destiny of destruction. Verse 18, for many walk, of whom I often told you, now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. What does he mean, they're enemies of the cross of Christ? I think it's implied here that they're not self-stated enemies of the cross, but because of their bogus walk, they are enemies of the cross of Christ, effectively speaking. That's why he's weeping. Now, I'm not sure about this, but what I think is happening here is that these false brethren at heart are enemies because they claim to follow Jesus Christ, but they reject the very basis in which one is saved. It's by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And they reject that in their day-to-day walk. They don't walk by faith. They walk by their flesh. They walk by their feelings. They walk by their desires, as we will see. They walk by the very things that are opposed to the cross of Christ. You can't be saved by your own feelings and your own desires and your own flesh. You need to humble yourself and trust in Christ alone completely by faith. And we walk that way too. And those who don't walk that way, who walk by their flesh and their desires like Paul used to, they're actually hostile to the cross. The cross is where Christ brought about forgiveness of sins by his grace. Nothing from us. He says, for many walk, often I told you, and now even tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. One pastor says, in this high-profile media society like ours, do you realize the exposure bad examples get today? Do you realize the exposure enemies of the cross of Christ find themselves today through radio, television, books, and so forth? You have to be very careful and discerning not to follow someone who is masquerading as a friend and is really an enemy of the cross. Beloved, this is such a ringing constant theme in the New Testament that you almost feel like you're in a revolving door on the subject. We must beware of the enemies who masquerade as friends. That's the idea here. He has to tell the Philippians that they are enemies of the cross, not the Philippians, but they, those who walk that way. And it's very subtle. And frankly, this one pastor says, and I agree, the church lacks discernment. Don't follow people who are not truly following Christ. It may look like it on the outside, but they're not exemplifying the walk and the pattern that you see in the Apostle Paul that we are to pattern after. One is an enemy of the cross of Christ when they claim to be a believer and yet live lives that do not represent Christ. Therefore, their testimony actually draws people away from the cross. In contrast, they are so-called brethren who are not pressing forward towards the goal. In a practical sense, no matter what they say, their walk reveals they could care less about true Christ-likeness, but rather about their felt needs or their desires. When people are about themselves and their own will and desires, they are not friends of the cross of Christ, because that's what non-believers are like. And we see this type of walk, instead of being upward, it's actually downward. and it leads to hell. And Paul warned over this, and he mourned over it. Look again, verse 18. For many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you even weeping, they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction. That's the end. End is destruction. You see, this present heavens and earth, Peter says in 2 Peter 3:7, says it's being reserved for judgment, day of judgment, and destruction of ungodly men. You see, you can live an ungodly life, even pretending to be a Christian. You can live not trusting Jesus your whole life. You can live following your own desires your whole life, but God will judge you and you will be eternally destroyed in punishment. The Lord Jesus shares this. Turn to Matthew chapter 10. You see, those who try to follow Jesus by their flesh, those who follow Jesus by their own desires, those who follow Jesus by not trusting in Him, relying in Him, mimicking Paul, are enemies of the cross. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, and do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. We see in Hebrews chapter 10 that those who continue to forsake fellowship, they continue sinning, maybe because it's evidence they're not saved, that there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain terrifying expectation of judgment. Same passage in Hebrews, the Lord will judge His people. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Don't play games with God. Don't play games. You can look at the walk that we should have. Yes, we fail. We confess our sin. We don't always do it. But we trust Jesus. We want to be like Jesus. We're not playing games. He says whose end is destruction. And notice their walk is described so that we can see what it looks like. Verse 19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Here you go. Here's the description. This is the description of the enemies of the cross of Christ. If this describes you right now, you are an enemy of the cross. And I'll explain. Text says, literally their belly is their God. And what is he talking about? He's speaking figuratively. This is used often to speak of appetites or desires. Their fleshly desires are their God. The same word is used in Romans 16. Turn out of Romans 16. It's used figuratively to say their flesh is what controls them. They live from desire to desire to desire to desire. They don't live by faith in Jesus Christ. They live by their desires. Romans 16, verse 17. Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances in contradiction or contrary to the teaching which you've learned. They cause trouble contrary to what you've learned in Scripture. Keep your eye on that and turn away from them. Don't follow them, by the way. For such men are not slaves of our Lord Jesus Christ. They appear to be. That's why he's saying that they're not. He's saying they're not. But of their own appetites. That's it. That's our word. And by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. They're out for their will and they deceive to get it. Their appetites is their God, their desires. Is your God your desire? Is that what controls you? Do your desires control you, or do you yield yourself to Christ? Their God is their flesh. Their flesh is their God. Turn to Romans chapter 8. You see, when my mind is continually, habitually set on the flesh, something's wrong. That's the way I was before I got saved. And God saved me, and He changed me, and He gave me heavenly desires. He changed my heart, and He changed your heart if you've been saved. Romans 8, verse 5. For those who are according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh. But those according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. That's just a statement of fact. If you are of the flesh, this is where your mind is at. If you are of the Spirit, this is where your mind is at. And he says here, for the mindset on the flesh is death. But the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile towards God. Ah, enemy of the cross of Christ. Hostile, same word basically. For it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it's not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. If you've not received the Spirit of God through a true, genuine faith in Jesus Christ, you are in the flesh. no matter how much you say you love Jesus, and it will manifest in your life, and you are effectively an enemy of the cross of Christ because your God is your desires. And notice the second illustration. We have true believers put no confidence in the flesh, right? False ones do. They rely on it and they are directed by it, right? Those are the enemies. Secondly, we see here, and whose glory is in their shame. Now, it's interesting. It doesn't say their glory is their shame. What do I mean by that? There are those who are not saved who glory in their wickedness. But here, what he's basically saying is what they glory in is what they should be ashamed of. They should actually be ashamed of it. The things they boast about are actually shameful. And you say, can you give me an illustration? I believe these false walkers don't glory in outright blatant sin, but they find their glory in these things they should be ashamed of. As Paul said earlier, their own abilities, their own confidence, their own understanding in their flesh. You should be ashamed as a Christian if you rely on those things. If you rely on your flesh, you should be ashamed when you did that. If you rely on your own abilities rather than trusting Jesus, you should be ashamed when you do that. But they glory in it. Remember the contrast between true brethren and false brethren. We are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God, glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. But these don't walk that way. Give you an example. We have so many so-called Christian churches and even radio shows that glory in their ability to help marriages and families. But by and large, their help is not from the Word of God and total dependence to Christ. They should be ashamed of it. They should be ashamed. We should spot it. They're not trusting in Christ. They're glorying in how they can help people rather than God, through dependence in Him, changing our hearts. An example. It's subtle. When you recognize your total inadequacy and need for Christ, as you trust in Him and He lives through you, what else can you do but boast in Him? Your glory's in Christ. So back here he says, many walk in contrast, not mimicking the walk that Paul reveals in Scripture and those who walk like it, not looking forward towards the upward call, but looking back, false brethren who ultimately, notice here, who ultimately, end of verse 19, set their mind on earthly things. That's the bottom line. They continually, habitually, that's the tense, think about the things of earth. This is the difference. Day in and day out, from start of the day to the finish of the day, it is about this life alone. Yes, God may be added in here and there, but it's all about this plane this way. You're an enemy of the cross of Christ, this is you. Because you haven't been saved yet, and you're on your way to destruction. This is the mindset of the unbeliever. Fully consumed with self and the things of self, the things of the below. But when we were saved, we received the Spirit of God and we were able to comprehend the truth of God, comprehend spiritual realities concerning Christ who is in heaven and where our upward call came from and where we're going. We believers are continually exhorted to renew our minds with the heavenly realities. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world. Don't think like the world. Don't be like it. But transform through the renewing of your mind. We can be transformed. Now that we have Jesus by His Spirit, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Now, it doesn't mean you don't think about the things on earth, but everything is filtered through the things of the above. My trials here, my relationships here, my work, my everything is filtered through what God has said and what He has revealed in Christ. It's all filtered through that. It's a different mindset. You see, those who are enemies of the cross of Christ set their minds on the things of earth, earthly things. What do you set your mind on day in and day out? Before I was saved, I would have said I was saved, but I set my mind on me, myself, and I, and my life. That's what I did. It was an evidence I was on my way to destruction, but God graciously saved me. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. There's a statement. If something has happened to you, then do this. This is what we're to do. Don't follow false brethren who set their mind on earthly things, guys and gals. Don't walk the way they walk. Look to those who are trusting in Christ, setting their mind on the things above. Not perfect. You set your mind on things above and you fail, you're confessing, right? Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, if you have died with Him, chapter 2, and you've been raised with Him in newness of life, you've trusted in Jesus, that simple. If that's happened to you, then keep seeking, that you've already started to do so. Keep seeking. Don't begin, because you already did when you got saved. Keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not the things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Set your mind on the things above. If you're truly saved, we're commanded to do so. And we have the ability to do so now because we have his word and his spirit. True believers do so. False brethren do not. Their God is their appetite. They set their mind on these fleshly things. And they focus on the things of earth. Again, Romans chapter 8, verse 5, I'll read it. For those who are according to the flesh set their mind according to the flesh. But those according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Where do you stand today? You see, Paul's exhorting them and us to walk like him. To be focused on the things above, that upward call. To be focused on knowing Christ and becoming like him. Seeing every event in our lives in the context of knowing Christ and glorifying him. Versus those who are on the road to destruction, who see everything in light of themselves. Their God is their desire. Their circumstances are self-focused. They're on the road to destruction. They self-focus, and they set their mind on earthly things. Walk this way, because if you're not walking this way, you're on your way to hell. Where are you today? Where does your mind dwell? Are you pressing forward, not looking back? Are you mimicking Paul, imitating him? Maybe you are a believer, but you've let things slip and you know it, and God's spanking you. Be thankful. Set your mind on the things above. Renew your heart and mind. Press forward, seeking the things above. Maybe you don't know the Lord. Maybe you realize, you know what? I'm about me. That's my life. I get up. It's about me all day long. God is gracious to reveal that before the end, which is destruction. Turn to Jesus Christ. Confess your sin. Believe in him and he'll save you. And he'll give you new desires. So then, today, we have seen that we are to be fellow imitators. We are to become fellow imitators of the Apostle Paul and those who walk like he walks. Let's do that. Let's become fellow imitators of Paul.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Philippians. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, in the moments that we have left in today's program, you talked about those who glory in their own abilities as people who are not walking in a worthy manner. Now, I don't know about you, but I just haven't seen a lot of that kind of thing blatantly paraded around in Christian circles. It seems much more subtle, maybe even masked by very spiritual talk and Christian lingo.
You know, Dave, you're absolutely right. It's often much more subtle. There are many under the guise of following Christ who are actually using that as a cover to follow their own fleshly desires. Now, before we go pointing out sin in other people's lives, we need to recognize we need to be walking rightly with the living God so that we can see things rightly according to his word dwelling richly in our hearts. Now, I need to remind our listeners that we can't see the heart. But we have a gracious God who warns us concerning those who would have wicked hearts, as he warns us through revealing their behavior in his word. It's important to realize also that we're not the sin police. You know, concerning those in the world, we don't judge them. God judges them. But we do make judgments of those within the church, 1 Corinthians 5. And as God's word illumines us to the sin of others in the church, we should graciously and lovingly come alongside them, reprove them with God's word, and hopefully win them. Now, it's quite different with false teachers. We need to turn away from them because God has made it clear how dangerous they are for us. We have a gracious God who desires to protect us from those who would harm us in our walk with Him.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.